Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am speaking with Vince Ippolito. He is the chairman and president of Botanics Pharmaceuticals. ASX code is BOT. Now, this is the first time that I've spoken to Botanics, and they've got lots of interesting news. It's a biotech company, but Vince, I'm going to ask you, invite you to just give us a brief overview on who are Botanics and why right now it's a pretty exciting time for the company.
Thanks, Kerry. Just really thrilled to be here today with you to share with the investors about Botanics. So we're an ASX-listed dermatology company that's focused on novel treatments for common skin diseases and infections. We do this by leveraging the unique anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial aspects of synthetic cannabidiol, or CBD, along with our topical delivery system we call Permetrex. So in the current pipeline today at Botanics, we have three assets in development, one in acne, one in rosacea, and one in atopic dermatitis. In the anti-inflammatory platform, we're about to kick off a program here. It's program number 1801 in our anti-infective programs this quarter. But really the big news here at Botanics is really around the acquisition of sulfpyronium bromide for the treatment of axillary hyperhidrosis.
Oh my goodness, Vince. What does that mean? I can't even pronounce what you said. What was that again?
Sulfpyronium bromide for the treatment of axillary hyperhidrosis. It just rolls right off your tongue.
Why is it so easy?
Yeah. I tell you what, why don't we just refer to it as SB for sulfpyronium bromide and HH for hyperhidrosis.
So much better. So what does it mean? What is the product? What does it do? Because one of the things I just was thinking about is the skin. These are all skin treatments, and skin is the largest organ on our body. And so What was coming to me was, how big is this market that you're addressing, and are other people doing the same? So I kind of want to get a feeling for our audience of, are you addressing something which is unique to Botanics, and are you ahead of other people working in the same space?
Yeah. So let's talk about hyperhidrosis first, which is basically excessive sweating is what it is. And it's actually more common than you think. So you and I, we know sweating through temperature changes or maybe exercise, but people who suffer from hyperhidrosis, they're not typically triggered by that. It's an overactivity of the sweat gland, so the nerve ending signaling that sweat gland to keep producing sweat. So in essence, it's excessive sweat. There are over 15 million Americans in the US that suffer from excessive sweat. And you can imagine, Kerry, if you're one of these people that are constantly sweating, well, it's going to have an impact on your daily living, on your work, on your intimate relationships that you have with individuals. But you asked about the market. This is a huge marketplace. It is predicted to grow to $2.8 billion in pharmaceutical sales by the year 2030.
Wow. Okay. $2.8 billion. Is that just in the sweat area, if I could call it that? Is that $2.8 billion, and those are products that help people with this? I never knew that it was even an issue.
Yeah. Well, you're raising a really great point about hyperhidrosis, because people who are affected by hyperhidrosis, they learn ways to just hide it. So you can imagine if I was suffering from the disease right now, or you were, your shirt, your underarms, maybe your back, your neck, your forehead, your hands, your feet, they would be sweating profusely. And so these people who suffer from the disease, they try to find ways to manage the disease on their own. Interesting fact about the disease: of those 15 million people that I told you about, only about half of them seek treatment. So let's call it 7 to 8 million people in the US today don't even know that they could treat their disease with pharmaceutical agents or other things. of those people that are in the doctor's offices, the other 78 million that are seeking treatment, very few of them get diagnosed with the disease, or they're left untreated. So they have to try and manage it on their own.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So what is your product going to be doing? How are you going to get it into the market? And what percentage of that 2.8 billion are you thinking that Botanix is going to go? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, first off, you're starting with a very large population of people that are suffering from the disease. And so if you have the disease today, there's not a lot of great treatment options for you. You might try the topical antiperspirants or clinical strength antiperspirants. You might be able to buy these over the counter. Part of the problem with them is they contain things like aluminum chloride, which can actually burn or irritate the skin, and they can lack efficacy. So not a great solution. You'll go to the next class of drugs, which are older reformulated drugs. They might be oral medications, they might be topicals, they might be other wipes. Part of the problem with these drugs is you'll suffer from the anticholinergic effects of taking them. So you and I may know anticholinergic effects from, we might have taken a sedating antihistamine, like a Benadryl or a diphenhydramine, where we get dry mouth, maybe urinary retention, dizziness, blurred vision, things. So you're now suffering from this disease that you've got to handle every single day. And the trade-off is all of these side effects. Not great options there today. Very advanced people carry, they would go to things such as surgery, where you're actually cutting the nerve ending, or there are mechanical devices that do that, or Botox injections in the armpits. Now, most people don't like needles in their armpits. So in short, there aren't great treatment options today. And to answer your question about sulfapyrimidine bromide, what makes it different? What makes it special? Well, if approved, it will be the first and only new chemical entity that will be approved by the FDA for the treatment of axillary hyperhidrosis or underarm sweating. There is no new chemical entities in this class whatsoever for the treatment of this disease. And so we'd be the first product to actually enter into the marketplace.
You spoke about all the side effects before. Why doesn't your product potentially have those sorts of side effects?
Yeah, great question. So sulfapyrimidine bromide is a topical agent that's applied directly to the affected area. In this instance, you'd use the device that it comes with, and you'd apply it to your underarms. Then the molecule itself targets the sweat gland, which triggers the nerve ending to interact with it and deregulate that signal going to the sweat gland to tell it, hey, let's shut down that production of sweat going to the gland. What makes the molecule unique, the mechanism of action, is then as it's eliminated to the body, it is then converted to a less active metabolite that is rapidly eliminated and excreted from the body. By rapidly eliminating the drug from the body, you reduce the number of potential side effects that you'd have from taking a medication.
I'm silent because it sounds so clever. And yeah. Part of me is thinking in my head, how did you get to this point? Because Vince, I know that you've had like 30 plus years in the pharmaceutical industry. And I just want to find out, how did you get to this point? How did you see the opportunity to fix an issue which is affecting so many people?
Yes, I have, over my last 30 years, I have always had an eye on the hyperhidrosis marketplace because there has never been a great solution here for these patients. And so there are several assets that I've looked at over my past 30 years. When I saw Kerry, the clinical data, because these data have already been presented. They were presented in the fourth quarter of last year, and then recently re-presented again at the American Academy of Dermatology meeting. So the robust clinical data that was performed by the company we purchased the asset from, we saw the strength of the data and how robust the trial was done, we said, this is the asset we have to go after.
And so you went out, explain to us the deal, how you got the asset and the terms, what that's looking like for your shareholders.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the unique leverage points of the deal for Botanix is that we put a minimal cash up front for the purchase of this asset. And we're going to prepare for the filing an approval in the back half of the year. So what's the action steps for the company?
Yeah.
We close the deal, minimum cash up front. We get the drug filed with the FDA for approval in the back half of this year. And so basically, there are some small milestone payments that are done upon filing and then approval. So all of the deal milestones and royalties are back end loaded in this particular deal, meaning as Botanix gains great success with this asset, then we share with the company that we purchased this asset from. The upfront is very minimal on it. So we've de-risked all of the aspects of this deal for our investor base by structuring a deal in this way. So if we look at the timing of how this may play out then, we submit with the agency in the back half of this year. Normal timeframes with the FDA would be, let's say, approval sometime in late 2023. We would be commercializing shortly thereafter this asset into the marketplace. So minimal cash within that period that we're putting up, and then it's off to commercialization. And the better we do, the better everybody does.
Well, and that word commercialization, which comes with that wonderful word revenue, which means that you become even more robust as a company. So there's some good milestones here. But Vince, do you see any challenges as you go to that FDA approval, or do you think it's just a matter of tick the box? This is not a done deal. It's never a done deal. But are there going to be any challenges there?
Yeah, great question, Carrie. And that's the number one thing that you really want to look at is the robustness of the data. And the data speaks for themselves. So the data are out there in the public domain. We have an exceptional, well-balanced management team here that has a plethora of experience in the dermatology space. They have been through these data sets with a very fine-tooth comb. And like I have been very impressed in not only the design of the clinical trial, but the outcomes. So one key point to know about the clinical trial data and the outcome of the phase three is that both of the primary endpoints and all of the secondary endpoints in the phase three clinical trials not only hit their clinical endpoints, but they were statistically significant in achieving them. One of the key points that stood out to us in this data set was that 85% of patients that were in the phase three clinical trial had a meaningful clinical result as reported in patient-reported outcomes. And the side effect profile of the drug over the six-week trial, and then again over the 52-week safety extension trial, were well tolerated in the trial, and there were no treatment-related serious adverse events reported from it. So we step back from this and say, wow, we're submitting a pretty strong package here to the agency. And remember, by the time you get to this point with the FDA, you have lots of discussions with them about your clinical endpoints, about what you're looking at, about what you have to hit. You're aligned with the agency. So, you know, nothing's a done deal until it's approved, but we feel real good about the submission of this data package.
And I think it's important for our audience to understand that when you get to phase three, that's a massive milestone because you've done your trials, you've seen that the product works. So that's kind of like the, you know, you've been to the show and you've won all the prizes almost.
Yes. And there's a bit of an ace in the hole here, Carrie. That's an exciting part of our deal too. We have a new partner, and that's Kaken Pharmaceuticals. They are leaning a Japanese pharmaceutical company. Kaken has already launched this drug in Japan. The drug was approved in Japan in late 2020, and they commercialized the asset in 2021. So for us, we have a leading pharmaceutical company that has already been through the Japanese FDA. They've already been through the steps of commercialization, producing the drug, manufacturing the drug, and launching the drug. So for us as Botanix and for our investors, we've got lots of work to do, but we've basically de-risked all of these steps because we've got a leading pharmaceutical company that's already done it.
Explain to me how that works, because I'm not an expert in the biotech pharmaceutical area. So Kaken over in Japan have said, we like this drug, we're going to approve it. Here it is, send it out to the Japanese people that are suffering. What's the connection with you guys? Are you supplying the drug? Is there a revenue stream? How does that work?
Yes. Great question. So the company we acquired sulfapyrimidine bromide from is called Brickle Biosciences. So they were actually the developers. They ran the clinical trials. They are the ones we purchased the drug from. Early on, they partnered with Kaken Pharmaceuticals because Kaken wanted to launch this drug in Japan. Now, Japan is a massive market for hyperhidrosis. Really? I think it's the second largest. Yeah, I think it's the second largest in the world for hyperhidrosis. So they partnered with it. By us purchasing this asset from Brickle Biosciences, Kaken now becomes our partner in the deal here. And so we've inherited a leading pharmaceutical company in Japan through the acquisition of this. And outlined in the deal terms, there are some milestones that that Botanix will share through Kaken's great success in the drug.
So is there a revenue sharing piece with this, or is it purely a straightforward supply product? How does that work? Sorry to over.
Yeah. So they're manufacturing in Japan themselves, okay. Launching in Japan. They pay typical milestones and royalties that get passed down to us, and then also a share passed down to the originator, Brickle Biosciences. And so it's all spelled out in the deal terms then. If investors wanted to dig into the nitty-gritty of this, they could look online and find all the details of it. But for us, the biggest leverage point is this company's been through it. We've got a partner now in this. And it's going to really help us in de-risking our action steps to commercialization.
Yeah, and I think you just turn around to the FDA and say, just go chat to Kaken because it's out in the market. Like, what about other markets? Because you're talking about FDA, that's the US. Surely there's other markets. And that $2.8 billion for what I'm going to call the sweat product, is that globally, or is that $2.8 billion in the US, or is that the market as a total? And where are your new markets going to be?
Yeah, right. So the 15 million sufferers, that's just the US only. So you can see it's a very big chunk of people in the US. The 2.8 billion targeted to grow by 2030 is a global number. Okay. And so, you know, hyperhidrosis, as I mentioned earlier, is not triggered by the normal things that you and I experience, whether that's temperature increase, or exercise. So it doesn't really matter where you live in the world. If you suffer from the disease, you're just going to proliferately sweat. So there are other huge markets, obviously around the world, Europe, South America, Canada, Australia, as well, where if we choose, because we have the license and the rights to do it, we can launch. The biggest market opportunity for us is the United States, because that's that there are active treatment seekers that we know that are there today looking for solutions for the drug. And we know that the payers, the third party payers in the marketplace, will actually reimburse for these prescription drugs.
Now, getting on to the value proposition as well, the share price, about 7 cents at the moment. Do you think that once you get through this FDA approval, is that going to, I guess, almost do a re-rating, light a fire? Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. Do your own research. But what I'm curious about is, have you been under the radar a little bit? Do you think people don't quite realize what Botanix have got in their hot little hands? Oh, that was a bit of their hot little hands.
that's very good. Yes. Very clever.
Yes. Do you think you've been flying under the radar a bit?
Yeah, so we've had a great investor base over the years. They've been with us through our clinical development that we have of the current dermatology and antimicrobial platforms. And for our investor base, what it really means for them today and new investors that are coming into the marketplace, that the acceleration into commercialization and revenue generation has been greatly accelerated here. And so the current investors thinking about, they've got to finish these trials that they've got. They've got to move into phase three with the current platform. And so they've got us out several years. We've just pushed this timeline way up on the investor base. So for them, it's a big win.
It's a massive win. And Vince, we're running out of time. What I would love to hear, they all know what I ask you, which is, let's sum it all up. Let's wrap it in a bow and go, all right, three reasons why our beautiful community out there should be sitting up and taking notice of Botanics Pharmaceutical. ASX code, ladies and gentlemen, BOT, right now.
Yep. So if you look at the current clinical platform that we have, lots of near-term milestones are about to happen in the clinical platform. Carrie, you and I just got done talking about this great, new, exciting asset that potentially greatly accelerates Botanics into commercialization and revenue generation. That's number two for everyone. And number three, we're sitting on $17 million worth of cash here, which is enough money to get this deal done, get the clinical platform done, and normal operating income for the company. So I would encourage our investor base to go to our website and check out Botanics if they'd like to learn more about the company.
Yeah, well, this has been a fascinating chat. And guess what? I can now say it. Hyperhidrosis. Woohoo!
Very good. Oh, no sweat. You got it done. No sweat there.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Listen, Vince, you've got to come back and have a chat with us again, because as you said, you've de-risked, and two things that my audience love to hear, commercialization and revenue. You're coming into that. So please come back and chat to us as you hit some more milestones down the road in 22 and 23.
I would love the opportunity. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Cheers, Vince. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.